And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the fourth Monday of every month from 2 to 4, it is Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton and Christian Marison. Of course, NetOne Services, great IT and web. I love you guys. You guys are just amazing.
Christian's amazing, yes.
No, you're both amazing. Wouldn't you say that, Christian?
Well, thank you. I think I'm amazing. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah, thanks, Dave.
Okay. No, I think both of you are really. I keep saying I always give the stories how you guys saved me. Right?
Yes, you do. And the team, that one team, did an awesome job. And,
great job.
Yes. So thank you for saying that.
Absolutely. Now, Christian, were you on last month, or you were still?
I was on last month. Yes.
That's right.
And since last month, two major things happened in the world.
iPhone 5.
The iPhone 5. And we're planning to launch a new website for the Thinking Site.
That's right. I'm excited about that. That is really cool action. We're going to – I saw the design. The design's great. Remember we saw that?
Absolutely.
And very, very nice. It's going to be a lot more content-driven, a resource center really for businesses, sophisticated articles, business, psychology, integration – how to become successful. It's really going to be great right off Breakthrough Thinking's major radio network.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
When will that be released?
We're planning within the next week to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We're shooting for that. We've got a little bit of loose ends to tie up, but it's getting there.
Great.
It's going to be great. And you have a very special guest sitting to my left. You want to introduce her?
Absolutely. We have Angelina Gonzalez from N3Q Media, who's an absolutely great person. I've worked with her in the past. And I'll let her introduce herself and tell us her about herself.
I am very excited to be here, and I really appreciate Christian for bringing me on the show. I am Angelina Gonzalez, and I do own a media solutions company called N3Q Media. And I just thank you guys for having me here.
Well, let me ask you, Angelina, because we were talking about it before the show, or on the break, I should say, N3Q, what does that mean? I was really interested in that, and I was delighted to hear what you said.
The inspiring Winston Churchill's quote, never, never, never quit, three N's and a Q. So my company is N3Q Media, and we never, never, never quit. And my dad wrote it to me in a card when I was graduating multiple years ago to just... remember, you just can't give up.
Multiple years ago, you look too young.
I'm not. I age well, I guess.
Wow, that's pretty good. So do you guys, though. Well, Christian, you're already young, right?
I'm 25, so.
Oh, you look younger. And Al looks way younger, too.
Yeah, thanks.
Me and Tommy have an issue, but I'm kidding. Tommy looks young, too, because of music. He does rockabilly. Did you know that?
No.
He's in a band.
No, I didn't know that.
We have to all go and see him do his band stuff.
Well, and cool.
Absolutely.
He's a drummer. Wow. That's why he's making all these funny gestures there, with, like playing a drum that doesn't exist. Okay. Anyway, so back to you, Christian. We're going to have a great show because everyone needs to know the opportunities out there in social media with website. The world's changing, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'm actually back to the iPhone. Does anybody here have at least one friend that's like crazy about the iPhone?
Well, we had a guest, one of the Phoenix Suns, Jared Dudley, called in last Friday, one of the great Phoenix Suns on our sports show. And the first thing he said is, I'm calling you on my iPhone 5. And I go, I have like an iPhone 3, 3.5. I'm not sure what it is, but it's not a 5.
There you go. Well, we all remember when it came out, right? The first iPhone. And it's been in the news ever since. What I'm trying to get at is the fact that it changed how social media works. And we'll see in a little bit that almost half of Facebook users use Facebook on their mobile device. And primarily, that's driven by the iPhone. I mean, they sold like, 5 million units in like 2 days?
They did? The iPhone 5?
They sold like 2 or 3 within 24 hours. So it's they've almost sold it out already. So it's really.
Well, let me ask you this. You may or may not know, but are these new users or are these upgraded users, like with the 4 or 3, and they decided to go to 5?
I guess it's both, but I would probably say it's repeat users. It's people that are upgrading for 4.
But I heard there's not – I mean, well, we talked about it a little bit, Al and myself. Is there really a big difference, though, iPhone 5 and 4? I heard it's not that big.
I'll be honest. I'm not that crazy about it simply because it's sort of an upgrade from 4S. It's not a radical change. It's not the top of its game. It's not the best product out there. Actually, specs-wise, specifications, the Samsung Galaxy looks better. It's got more processing power, a bigger screen. But what Apple has is a loyal clientele. I mean, people who've had an iPhone don't really go to a different manufacturer. They stay with it, and they like it. And I mean, do you like your phone?
Well, sort of. I sort of liked it, but then sometimes it takes – maybe I had too much stuff in it, but it's slow sometimes. It sticks.
Okay. Well, the new one should be faster.
Okay, so I should go get an iPhone 5.
Absolutely.
Or should I wait for the 7 or 8?
Well, that might be maybe 2015.
Oh, darn. So maybe the 5 is the way to go.
Absolutely.
But do I have to use Siri?
You don't have to.
Oh. Is it advisable?
I've tried it. I was not impressed. It actually kept getting things wrong. Maybe it's my accent or maybe I talk too fast. I don't know. But I heard that it's gotten better with this update. So maybe it's getting there.
Well, I tried one of my friend's Siri thing, and I wasn't impressed either. It reminded me of my ex. I said, Siri, do this, and they said, do it yourself. So I didn't really quite like it. So anyway, that's my iPhone 5 comment at this point.
Cool.
Okay, so back to you, Christian.
What I want to start talking about, and I'd like everybody's input on this, is we have a country, right, that's based on freedom, and we enjoy this freedom a lot. But business-wise, in the business world, there's quite a totalitarian regime, right? Because there's a company owner, there's management, there's not much of a...
And there's Bain Capital.
There you go.
So, all right, that's just my last political comment of the day.
Okay. What I'm trying to get at is we don't see democracy really into the business world. And if you look across, there's very few examples of any businesses that use input from employees or customers into what they do.
I think there is one, the only one, and you said few. One, I believe, is Southwest Airlines.
Really? There you go.
Class organization, by the way.
Actually, I've heard that they treat their employees better.
They have a reverse pyramid where Herb, the former chairman, who's still somewhat active, but think of a pyramid. You know, it looks, there's a point at top, a side, and a bottom base. That's a typical business model where all the employees work for that one person or a set of people. He reversed it where he said he worked for all his employees. Unique, special, no wonder Southwest is the best airline, most profitable, successful airlines in the world.
Oh, you got a good point there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the top of the pyramid could also be mistaken for a dictator.
Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, thank you. Very
for a country that we mentioned the word freedom like every other sentence.
Oh yeah,
we've gotten quite a dictatorship in the business world. But I mean, this might not have anything. This might sound like it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. But what I'm trying to get at is social media. How does social media sort of compare to democracy? Well, there are quite a few companies out there that use social media to give their customers a way to contribute to product development.
Oh, neat.
And what that brings into the game is rather than you as a small business or medium-sized business or even a large business, but let's say small business owners who've got a much more difficult time putting stuff together, they don't have to hire a market development company or do research. They can just do a poll online on their Facebook page and ask their customer base what they should do, what they should build, what features should the new product have.
And companies doing that?
Absolutely. Actually, that's one of the prime things that they use to gain momentum and engage your audience is get them to vote.
Ah, very good.
Angelina, have you done that or you suggest that? How do you see that?
I think it's brilliant. You know, right now, Lay's Potato Chips, they're doing a huge social media for naming and creating the next potato chip flavor. So you can go online to Facebook and submit your flavors. And, I mean, I've seen anything from meatloaf to shrimp Creole to, you know, I think I created hummus. You know, for mine, and, you know, the winner, you know, they get their flavor in stores, and they also win some money. And, you know, but for market research and to have a team behind the scenes creating and hoping it launches and actually interacting, I think that it's great. And people can actually go through the flavors and vote for other people's flavors.
Oh, nice.
How would you create that, Christian and Angelina? For example, just let's say a small company, a mid-sized company, if you, let's say you only have a couple hundred friends, can you make it go viral? Do you have to offer, for example, some type of incentive, like a prize? And is that legal to do on Facebook, first of all? And I suspect it is.
Absolutely.
But how would you go about building that? I don't know if that was what you were going to talk about, but it sounds sort of interesting to me, especially if you can get more likes on your business page, and maybe that would be a requirement.
Absolutely. Well, on the last show, I mentioned that every person, on average, has about 150 to 200 friends of their own, and that varies by age. Younger people have more friends. As demographics age progress, they have less and less. But it's between 150 to 200. So if you have a couple hundred people as your friends, and you're giving them the option of creating a new product or voting on features on your product, even if you're a small business, you don't necessarily need to give them an incentive. You can, and it's obviously going to improve your chances of engaging your audience, but not necessarily so, because people feel empowered by you as a company. They feel this democracy concept. They feel like they're voting. And if you get people there, I mean, 200 people can get you 2,000 people. They can get you 20,000 people because of their network. They can like your page. Now, their friends see that. Now, they might like your page, and it just becomes – it can grow to huge numbers.
So would you recommend an ongoing type program, I mean, not maybe constantly, but where you're always doing polls or contests to increase your network and pipeline?
I want to say three words that I think are very important. They're called the three E's of social media. And it's called educate, entertain, and engage. And if you hit all those three in your social media campaign, you've got no way not to be successful.
So that was educate, entertain, and
engage.
How would you entertain?
It can be, and I'm going to go through some examples a little bit later on the show. It can be anything. It can be a funny picture. It can be a quote of the day. It can be absolutely anything that you run across. It doesn't necessarily have to be related to your business or your product. But just to show that you have a personality, that there's someone behind the business, where it's the manager that's managing it, an employee, the owner, there's someone behind it and it has a personality. And I think everybody has that side of them, right? I mean, we can all make jokes, right? We can all be serious. We can all do all this. So putting that on your Facebook, on your Twitter feed, it's absolutely essential.
And a good, unique combination, Facebook and Twitter at the same time for these contests?
Depends. Depends on the cost. You can just use Facebook. You don't necessarily have to use Twitter. I've said it before. Twitter is not necessarily for everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
So be careful when you do it. You have to post. You have to be active. And if you don't plan on doing this, you don't plan on spending a lot of time, you can just use Facebook for the beginning.
Now, Angelina, is it wise, and Christian and Al too, is it wise to engage a professional that knows social media and website and, you know, in fully and daily practicing these things to help build a contest and from a marketing strategy standpoint?
I think that it is important to hire somebody that specializes in it. You know, I always tell my clients to stick to what you're good at, and I stick to what I'm good at. And a business, you know, if the owner and its employees are focusing on what they do the best and they have somebody else that's building for more traffic or personality or anything, then the business is more successful. Everyone's more successful. It's kind of like if you start putting yourself in too many places at once, one falls.
That totally makes sense.
It's actually a similar concept in medicine. Would you like one doctor that does everything, or would you like a specialist that takes care of your eyes or your heart, or would you like the same guy that treats your leg to operate on your heart? Probably not. So you want specialists to be taking care of things that are particularly important.
That totally makes sense.
Yes.
We all have stories of people trying to fix their own stuff and they end up really messing up, and then it's a lot more expensive.
Yes, so true.
And often it's a matter of involvement. It's not just you hire a guy and you just pay him and, you know, you just expect some results. It's a matter of being involved and working with that person.
That totally makes sense. Let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we will continue our discussion with Al Fulton, Christian Marison, and special in-studio guest Angelina Gonzalez from N3Q Media. I love that title, by the way. Is it for sale? No, I'm kidding.
No.
I really like that. And we'll be right back. Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Are you standing at a crossroad in life wondering what's next? Is it time to reinvent your relationship, your career, your life? Whether you're ready for a reinvention revolution or a reinvention evolution, the support of a couple of great coaches can get you there. When you decide it's time to take your life from just functional to optimal, call Joe and Lori Battaglia of Living the Dream Coaches. 888-505-5762. That's 888-505-5762, or go online to www.livingthedreamcoaches.com. That's www.livingthedreamcoaches.com.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
I want to invite you to come to the Sulawak for Autism Research. It is on Saturday, October 6th in the morning. Please come to the zoo and help raise money for autism treatments. I like the zoo walk because I like to walk around with my family and see animals. It is a lot of fun.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. And if it is the fourth Monday of each month from 2 to 4, it must be Breakthrough Networking, starring Al Fulton and Christian Marison. And, of course, sponsored by NetOne Services. Great IT, great web design, you name it, they do it. And they save you. They've saved me many, many times. Special in-studio guest from N3Q Media, Angelina Gonzalez. And Angelina, it's really a pleasure having you here.
Thank you for having me.
You're more than welcome. Now, we're talking about contests and polls. The power of social media is ridiculous. I mean, it's underutilized, I believe, right now.
Absolutely.
And I believe I'm underutilizing it, perhaps. And I just have to come up with some contest to utilize this in a way that Christian is proposing, because you know your stuff, and I just got to get together with you and but we could design it right now, in fact. Incentives. And we were asking off there, like, what type of incentive would draw people?
And the answer to that could be absolutely anything. People love to win stuff. And it can be just, you know, simple things like concert tickets. It could be gift cards. It doesn't have to be anything super expensive or cars or anything like that. It can be just simple things that you can offer your customers. It can be service that you do. For example, it might be, you know, a plumbing business, or an electrician, they can offer, or an IT company can offer support or something like that. So it doesn't have to be something that puts the company in a bad financial situation.
Wow, that is really interesting. And we talked about maybe weekly drawings, and Angelina, you suggested maybe a biggest fan drawing as far as like a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you seen that is sort of interesting, or maybe haven't seen that, that might be a variation of something like what we're talking about?
Well, I do a lot of work with restaurants, and, you know, people love being mini photographers and taking pictures and commenting about the food that they have. So the restaurants, you know, they love getting the feedback, and they're willing to you know, give a free appetizer or a percentage off, you know, if you post what you're eating or what you like or, you know.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and where you're headed. So I think for restaurants, it's huge to use social media.
That would make sense, especially the competitive nature of restaurants, and it's so capital intensive usually. It's a lot of them, let's put it this way, you better have the competitive edge or else you won't be a competitor any longer.
Correct.
Oh, absolutely.
That's tough, especially in that industry. So, Al, you're going to do some contests too, huh?
Yes, so considering a weekly with a 90-day grand prize, and have to think about probably start out with gift cards, like a $25 American Express gift card, and or if, depending on the subject matter, maybe a food item, Cold Stone Creamery, $50 cake, things like that. So this segment has me thinking.
Yeah, me too. Christian, back to you.
That brings us, to the three E's of social media, which are educate, entertain, and engage. And I'm going to run through some examples of some success stories out there of companies that have done very well using social media and increasing sales, getting more likes, getting more customers, just doing a lot better. There's a company called FuzzyYellowBalls.com, and it's a tennis-related website. They do a lot of news and maybe tutorials and pictures and stuff like that. And they get about 37 million views on YouTube. 37
wow.
million views. And what they've done is they're giving free YouTube videos of tennis lessons. I mean, do you guys know how much a tennis lesson costs per hour?
$19.95. No, I'm kidding. Probably like $150 or so?
It's very expensive. It varies, but it's extremely expensive. So what they did is, I mean, they have people that know tennis. Obviously, it's a tennis-related website. What they did is they put free lessons on YouTube. And it's next to nothing in terms of cost to do that. And that's where they got most of their traction from.
Wow, really?
So it's something that costs very little, and you can get a lot from it.
37 million, you said?
Absolutely.
Do you know how long of a time span?
That I do not know.
But that's still good.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. 37 million.
And it's one company. We're not talking, you might see a video that has 100 million views, but that's everybody in the world. This is just one company. And 37 million views.
So a lot of people like tennis. So let's see. So let's say you're, you could do it probably with golf.
Absolutely.
I suspect. Now, do you think it's wise to cross industries? Let's say a restaurant showing golf lessons?
Absolutely not. You should. Okay. This is specific, and it can be specific to industries. Let's say that you're a company that deals with electrical things. You could show people how to do certain simple things that they can do themselves. Online, you don't want to show them how to change things that might, you know, hurt them or injure them. But you can do certain tutorials online, and people feel like they're getting a value. They're not being ripped off by this company for, you know, an electrician shows up at your door, spends 15 minutes, and they charge you $100. You can just give them something for free, and a lot of people, you know, might view this as value, and they might still call you, might still get you into their home to fix their stuff, but they view you as a company that's willing to give them something back.
So a restaurant, for example, could maybe do a video on their a recipe.
Exactly.
Would that be effective?
Sure. A how-to video?
Yeah,
cooking instructions? Exactly. Or there could be something that's troublesome in the kitchen, you know, that a chef can just show you how to do in 30 minutes or less?
Wow. And here's the thing. I mean, you go to a restaurant to eat. All right, you enjoy their food. Let's say they give you a tutorial, right, on how to cook a particular item. Are you really not going to go to that restaurant again because now you know how to cook a particular item on the
right.
menu?
No,
probably
no,
not.
Right. Yeah.
So you're not losing customers, but at the same time, you might win customers, and you might get them for a longer period of time.
Wow. What would a radio show could do bloopers?
There you go.
Like in between segments, like during the break. Wouldn't that be
exactly.
Like what happens on a radio show during the break?
Exactly.
Wow, that'd be sort of cool. What other things? Let's maybe give a few more examples what people could do.
I have another example. This is more of a general example, so don't take this word for word. But it's relating to the entertain part of social media, and it's regarding Shaquille O'Neal. He's one of the top people in Twitter to be followed. He's in top 10 of all people that have Twitter.
Oh, really?
And the reason behind that is he has a very strong personality, and he's funny. And he posts a lot of this funny stuff that people like to follow. So that brings me to the entertain part. You can't obviously post anything he posts because you're a business, so you might have to have some limits. But at the same time, there's someone behind that social profile. So find a funny picture, find an article, find something that people can enjoy, and that way they'll follow you. Not necessarily, it's not going to translate into sales immediately, but they're going to connect with you on a more basic level. They're going to be much more closer to you as a company.
So a funny picture or something that shows maybe who you are type of thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so interesting.
There's quotes. I mean, there's so much of this out there that you can't say you didn't find it. It's if you look for it, you're going to find it.
So can you do quote of the day?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that's a good one too. Or thought of the day, NLP tip of the day, sure. IT tip of the day.
Yep.
Wow. That is good stuff. Or you could do a funny video. Like a 1 minute funny video every day.
There you go.
Oh, I think this is good. This is some good ideas.
And there are companies, you have to remember, there are companies, small, who don't have the time to do this daily. But you can do it every 3 days. You can do it once a week. And as long as you have some consistency so that people expect to get some sort of content from you, that's okay. Just don't have long periods or short periods and then long periods again between postings.
Yeah.
Have some sort of a regular schedule that you do. Spend a few hours a week on this, and you'll find two or three things to post at least. Which you mentioned the quote of the day. There's a website called morningcoach.com, and they do a daily posting, and it's usually just quotes. And they've got 32% of their community talk about it.
Really?
They've done research, and not just view it. They actually talk about it. 32%, it's a lot if you think about it, because a lot of marketing out there has a return rate of, you know, under 5%.
Wow.
So you... 32%. So there's a lot of these really cool examples of companies that give something to their immediate community, not necessarily related to what they do as a business.
That is really interesting. And so you can get a lot of customers, and it doesn't have to be a long time. They come in, they see the quote of the day. It might inspire them. They'll come back. Very, very cool
stuff. And you're
stuff.
Always in their mind. You're always present. And it's very important, because when they're going to need you, you want to be the first option. You don't want them to think about what your company name is.
So for a CPA firm, maybe tax tip of the day.
Exactly.
Yes. Wow. This is good stuff. Why don't we take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Christian Marison, Al Fulton, and special in-studio guest Angelina Gonzalez from N3Q Media. We're talking the power of social media right now. This is really good. If people really understood this, I believe that they can really make a big difference in the world as well as their business. That's what we want. We'll be right back. And now, one of my favorite attorneys, Joe Collins. You have a great firm, a family atmosphere with great sophistication.
That's my dad's kind of theory when we started. He always kind of touts himself as the old country lawyer. We pride ourselves at having somebody answer the phone. You don't have a computer system answering it. We try to give personal service.
Tell us a little bit about the firm in terms of where you focus your attention.
We probably do 60-70% family law, and we really enjoy it. Family law encompasses such a wide variety of topics. But, you know, for the most part, you feel rewarded that you're helping somebody out. Family law is probably the most rewarding.
Why don't we give your website out?
It's real simple, collinslaw.net. The email's just the same, joecollins@collinslaw.net.
602-788-7227. Call Joe Collins and Collins. Great family law attorneys and more.
Your body is the greatest gift that you will ever be given. How well are you taking care of yours? Hey everyone, this is Journey Reeves, owner of Mind Body Unlimited. More important than time or money, your health is the secret to a truly wealthy life. We can customize an exercise and diet program that greatly enhances your quality of life. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, give us a buzz at 480-370-7768. That's 480-370-7768 to schedule your free, no-obligation consultation today.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
Hi, I'm Paul, and I'm on the spectrum.
And I'm Kim, and I'm an autism specialist.
The second Monday and Tuesday of each month at 3 p.m. on 1010 a.m.
and online at breakradioshow.com, live and archived.
We're here to help you with
Understanding Autism.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. If it's the fourth Monday of the month from 2 to 4. Hey, I sound like a horse racing announcer, right? And there goes Dr. J. Okay, it is, of course, NetOne Services and Breakthrough Networking starring Al Fulton and Christian Marison. And special in-studio guest, we have Angelina Gonzalez, N3Q Media. I want to say Angelina Jolie.
Not quite. Oh. Nowhere near.
But she's a great actress. Now, yep. We're talking about strategies, social media usage, the power of that. What would you say? People maybe just using less than 10% of what's potential?
I would say so, to be honest. Especially from a business perspective, it's very underused. And it always seems to be that way, actually. The business resource always lags behind on stuff like this. Maybe it's because it costs money. Maybe because they're afraid. I don't know.
Or it could be from an NLP standpoint. Maybe it's above their self-imposed limitations, and too much success is scary.
There you go.
Wow. How do you like that, Angelina?
I think people are just a little intimidated.
Yes, I do think so, too. Back to you, Christian.
A few more examples, specific examples of how other companies have done well using social media. One website is called Emerson Salon from Seattle. Just say our salon. What they did with their Facebook is rather than have a company page or only a company page, you know, you go and you see their specials or something like that. What they did is every person that works there, every hairstylist, has their own personal personal page on Facebook, and you, as a user, get access to that page, and you can talk to them, you can friend them, post, you name it. So every person that works there, you can communicate directly to that person using social media via the company's website. So rather than have a company personality, they're taking their people, their employees, and they're connecting them with the actual audience, with the actual customers out there.
Wow, that's sort of cool. That's a great idea, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you have to be careful because once you give a person that kind of power, you have to remember they might not work for you in the future. So the followers, the people that have worked with that hairstylist or that person, are they loyal to you as a company or are they loyal to your employees? So you have to balance a little bit the...
Well, that's still the case anyway because word of mouth, when that employee leaves, they just call. They have the phone number, so they just call all the individuals. So I don't think it's that much different.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, that's interesting, actually. Yeah, I guess from strategic planning, traditional marketing, do you market one individual in a company or the company?
Exactly.
And this did happen. I don't know if I should say it on the air or not. Tommy, what do you think? Should I say it on there? You know the person. Okay, I won't, but I did see an example. I won't mention names, but this person was incredibly well-known, and all the marketing was marketing this individual. You might be able to guess, but everything was designed to market the individual, whether it was at, you know, movie screens, it was on TV, and they said, go see this individual, and he was always in the video. And then, guess what? If this individual no longer is at that company.
Like the Maytag guy. I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah. It was him. That's what I'm talking about. No, I'm kidding. That's not him. But that's a problem, because you just spent marketing someone who could take that image to another company and transfer those, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars or whatever it was to another company. That is interesting, probably a tactical error.
Absolutely. Well, remember when Steve Jobs died, how many people actually said, what's going to happen to Apple? Because he was the face of Apple. And now Apple doesn't really have such a strong personality. You don't really think of Apple and somebody else. But before you said Apple, you said Steve Jobs.
That's right.
Right.
So it's you have to remember that people are people. And they might not work for you. They might go away. You never know. So putting all your eggs in one basket might not be the best strategy. But for some, like this hair salon in Seattle, Emerson Salon, it worked. And they did just fine. So.
Well, that's sort of cool. All right, cool. So you have some other strategies or examples or other?
A few more. Liberty Bay Books, just a bookstore in Washington. Right? Not a big deal. What they do is they post events, book signings. They use their Facebook page for anything that happens within their town. And the followers, the people that, you know, like their page, they get quite a good calendar of events from this one store. And they talk about it, and they go to the bookstore, and it's just a very cool way to engage your audience, just with simple things. I mean, it doesn't have to be super complicated, or, you know, it's just simple things like events that go around town.
Also, you can use Facebook to update people on what's new.
Exactly. And you might be, a bookstore. You might be a coffee shop. It really varies what you really post. But at the same time, people don't know everything that's going on. So most of the time, you're really giving them some sort of value. You're letting them know of things that might not already be aware of.
So you could, on your Facebook, if you really had the time and desire, you could be a food critic. Every week, you could visit a new restaurant, or a movie critic.
Exactly.
And people could go right there for your movie analysis of what's out, what's good, and what's not.
Exactly. Now, always remember that in the end, your company, and this is some sort of marketing strategy. So don't, you know, post random things and funny things on your Facebook page and forget to sell yourself as a company. Do some promotions. Do some coupons. Mix and match. Don't just do one thing. Especially don't give promotions all the time, and don't advertise all the time, because that will turn people off. But you can, and people expect some sort of advertising from businesses because that's what they do. So do a combination of all these things, and that will definitely get you a successful campaign.
And the good news is you can track it. Angelina, I'm sure you have tracked things, or at least suggested people measure the results and see what type of increase in whatever happens, either in people going to a Facebook page, or actually increase in sales or net profit or something like that.
Absolutely. And it's probably one of the easiest ways to quantify in your marketing. You know, there's a lot of efforts that you can put out there. If it's a postcard mailing, you know, direct mail marketing, you don't always know who's coming, you know, because of that particular promotion. But when you're doing Facebook and certain promotions that are focusing on an ad or a post or anything that you need someone to respond to, it's very easy to track.
That's great, because people should measure and monitor their results.
That is the major thing that you want to do in marketing. Want to know what works, what doesn't work.
Right, absolutely. And you know, Facebook, they're getting better and better as they keep releasing new versions of tracking of how many of shares you had. I get every single week for the Facebook pages that we monitor. I get updates. So I know if the numbers are up, if the numbers are down, if there was a spike, if we knew we ran a promotion. You know, I've asked some clients like, hey, what did you guys post on this day? Because we had a huge spike. And so they, you know, we go back and we look and see what got people's attention. And we keep doing that. So,
Wow. You know, and not just in marketing, but people should be measuring everything in their business. Well, I mean, most critical key stats in their business. And it's interesting. People don't seem to even have goals, so you can't measure what you don't have a goal about.
That's the first thing you should do in social media is have a goal.
Yeah.
Is your goal to get likes? Is your goal to get new customers, increase sales? Whatever it is, make sure you set a goal before you start this, and everything you do has to be towards that goal. It's sort of like having a mission statement, really.
Yeah.
Is it in line with your mission statement? Are you doing what your company should be doing? And if yes, then do it. If no, then no. And it's a very straightforward strategy to do social media.
See, that makes total sense, what you just said. Yeah, without a goal, you really can't measure it. But the other thing I liked what you said, Christian, is a goal will determine all your actions and behaviors.
Exactly. It's a map.
Yeah.
It's something that will guide you. It's like really having a book, and if you have a question, you just look it up. And that's what you should have. Have a goal. Have a strategy. Just sit down. Spend 40 hours before you start your social media campaign. Don't just go out there and just do it. Have a strategy.
I like that, Al.
Yes. Could you imagine reading a book where the person did not have a plot or a strategy, and they're just all over the place? And then what do you have at the end? You don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Or chapter one, today I did this. Chapter two, I forgot what I did in chapter one. Yeah, that would be really confusing. But that's classic strategic planning, is to have your goals and objectives. Of course, you want to start with a vision or mission statement, and then have your objectives or goals, and then action plans and strategies and tactics. I mean, but my experience, as you both, you know, I don't know if Angelina knows, but I'm a CPA and a business consultant as well, and I do a lot of strategic planning. Most companies, small to mid-sized, do not have strategic plans. In their mind, they think they do, but they don't really know the difference between a simple plan and a sophisticated plan is. But more importantly than that, and I think you all will agree with this in context of social media, if you don't execute the plan, why have a plan?
Exactly.
Execution's everything.
True.
That's like having a game plan with the Cardinals or any sports team, but they don't execute it.
They don't
just stand around. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's that craziness. And I really encourage businesses to really think strategically rather than complain about how difficult it is. It's difficult because you don't have a strategic plan that you're executing while upgrading your skills and changing your beliefs that it is possible to succeed above your wildest imaginations. Back to Christian.
A few more things, a few more examples. Dunkin' Donuts actually gave people a way to create their own donuts, similar to the latest example.
Oh, wow.
So that's a cool way to engage your audience. Willitblend.com, I mentioned this in the break. It's a website of viral videos, and they just blend stuff, and it's just random stuff. Like if the new iPad comes out, they just break it in half, put it in the blender, and they blend it. And it's just crazy stuff like that. And so if you think about it, it's such a simple idea, but they get so many hits, and obviously they're marketing the blender, but it's such a simple little idea that they came up with, and it's very, very popular. And again, it doesn't have to be super complicated. You don't have to spend a lot of money. Obviously, don't start blending iPads all of a sudden if you're a plumber. But it just gives you an idea of just think simple. Think don't think so super complicated. Simple things often work, and they'll get you much more farther.
That is really cool. It's unique, innovative.
Yes, I just had a brainstorm. I could actually have blooper videos where reenacting customers doing things like knocking a laptop off the desk and breaking the power adapter.
I think that's a great idea.
There you go.
And I can even – you can interview me on that one.
That's an inside joke because Dave actually did that.
I did.
Hey, I've poured accidentally dumped coffee on my keyboard.
Oh, what happened?
A few years
I was
ago.
Always curious about that.
It never worked the same again.
Really?
Yeah, and the DVD drive never opened. I had to pitch it, you know, angled and try and get all the coffee drained out.
Oh, my gosh. It was a whole cup of coffee.
It was a whole fresh, hot, so excited to start my morning off and all over the laptop.
What a waste of a cup of coffee.
I know. I was...
Who cares about the keyboards?
Yeah. I would have figured it would work faster because of the caffeine.
Yes.
Just a little sticky, too. You know, every once in a while it was
sticky.
Not good.
It was coffee. What did you have in there? It was
a
latte.
Probably had sugar
or
in it. No, but I'm sure there was sugar in it. Or
So, Al, as an IT person, I mean, you drop coffee on a keyboard, that fries it, right?
Well, if you let it dry, then it could work again. And then I'll get a call. That's why I'm laughing. Then I'll get a call, and the person will say, my shift key is sticking. And, you know, it's sticking. It's staying down. And I'm like, well, what did you do? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And, of course, there's the coffee stains, and it's running out the sides of the keyboard. So I apologize for laughing. But this really happened.
You should do that on your Ustream thing. Yes. Have little enactments.
Thank you. This is a great idea.
Or what to do if, right? So what do you do if you accidentally drop your iPhone in the toilet, which apparently happens a lot.
It does.
I've heard people. I've never done it. I've had about four friends that have coffee on the keyboard. I mean,
yes.
I wish I could have Googled in an emergency.
Really? iPhones go in the toilet?
That's actually the prime way of iPhones breaking.
Because
dropping them in the
water?
Just water. The sink, spills.
The bath?
Yeah,
ocean?
They're not waterproof.
Lake?
Here's the thing. I've had a Nokia for about 2 years now. I think I've dropped like 100 times, and it still works. Oh. But I know people that have dropped their iPhones once from a very short distance, and
really,
it was done. So the more complicated the electronic device, the more fragile it is.
That's interesting.
So. Yes.
So what's the answer? Don't buy an iPhone or just don't take it into the bathroom?
Well, I wouldn't take any electronic device swimming in the toilet. You know, what I say is normally, you know, the friends I've had, they put the phone in the back pocket and forgot to take it out before going to the bathroom, so it just falls.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, that's just – I've had an iPhone. I was afraid to get it because I am very hard on my phones, and I do dropkick them. And this just actually fell off the table yesterday, and we're still good. So
that's
they're
an
a little
iPhone.
Hardier. It is
what
an
is
iPhone.
It, a 3, 4, or 5?
It's the 4S.
Also, do you like Siri? We were talking about that earlier. Siri.
I did start liking Siri.
Really?
I did start using, and
yours doesn't talk back like mine.
No, but I do ask her to tell me a joke because of that whole commercial that I saw. She'll tell you a joke, yeah.
Really? Can we demonstrate?
We can try.
Wouldn't that be live?
Well, Dave doesn't believe in it. I told him it's just like if once you have two monitors on your computer,
you were saying that.
You have to have it. And so once Siri starts, you know, you start asking her to take a message or text someone or call someone, if you were to pick up an old, like a standard phone, the individual will start talking to you. Why aren't you calling? But anyway, go ahead. Demonstrate
so,
Siri for us.
Say a clean joke. We don't want Siri to, you know, you
oh,
might have.
Oh, I doubt Apple loads that in.
You may have a rebel phone. I don't know. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
Here, ladies and gentlemen.
Siri, tell me a joke.
Here we go. We're waiting.
Angelina, get serious. Ha, ha.
Try it again. See if she repeats it.
See
or
if
maybe,
she does something.
Yeah, here we go. Siri and a joke. Here it is, Angelina.
Siri, tell me a joke.
See if she repeats it. And the answer is, she didn't hear.
No.
Okay, let's.
Siri, tell me a joke.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen, as we approach the T9. Hey, it's not even answering.
It's not even.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Wow.
I know.
Is this an advertisement for Apple?
Siri, tell me a joke.
She knows she's on the radio.
Oh, is that right?
She's radio shy.
Siri, tell me a joke.
Angelina, get serious.
Nope, same
all right,
one.
All right, let's try this, and then we'll get back to social media.
Okay, sorry.
Let's try one more.
Oh, okay.
Say, Siri, you're on the radio. What do you want to say? Oh, that's dangerous.
Too complicated.
Really?
Siri, you're on the radio. What do you think?
Really?
It's nice of you to ask, Angelina, but it doesn't really matter what I think.
Wow, that's sort of cool. So that's what happens.
Yes.
Wow, that's Siri. Or Sirius. Siri.
Siri.
Okay, back to Christian.
Sorry.
All right. since we're approaching the end of our show, I want to give people some specific advice on what to do about increasing the social media efforts. First, again, start with a strategy. Have a plan. Don't just do it. That doesn't exist. You're just walking blind, and I really don't think you're going to get anything out of it. Have some time, because social media does take time. Researchers say somewhere between 3 to 6 hours a week to increase traffic. So it is, you know, it is a little bit time consuming. Go ahead and post events, post new product information, do funny stuff, do news, do stories, videos, images. anything can happen. Anything you can do anything you want. Just make sure that within that it's a message. Yeah, it just can't be random things. And track it. Make sure that you know if you're getting something in return.
But 3 to 6 hours a week, let's look at that. Really, that's not that much in a work week, is it, Angelina? I mean, that's not that bad.
It's not. You know what? It's just creating a new habit. You know, it's doing something. It takes 20 days to do a new habit. So if you just schedule it and you plan, you know, I tweet on the treadmill. You know, that's when I have the opportunity to do it. So it's just, you know, find 5 minutes and post or tweet.
Can we do a video of you tweeting on the treadmill?
I know I'm not the only one.
Tweeting on the treadmill. I almost said that. I did, didn't I? That would be good. See, right, Christian? Wouldn't that be unique?
Absolutely.
Okay. He's still laughing, though. Let's ask Siri that. What does it mean to tweet on the treadmill? Let's ask her one more time. On this
here she we might go. Be.
Annoyed? Here we go now.
Siri, can I tweet on the treadmill?
And let's see what she said. Here we go. No answer.
She's searching.
Oh, searching still.
Yeah. We have the... She's looking.
She's looking. This is a tough question for her. Maybe too tough.
Maybe.
All right, that's okay. Back to you, okay. Christian. So you want a goal, strategy, take the time to do it, post information, whether it's funny, new quotes, quote of the day.
Exactly.
Thought of the day, and we only have a minute, 30 seconds.
And just remember, educate, entertain, and engage.
Excellent. Well, Angelina, how do people get in touch with you?
They can go to our website. We're www.n3q.com, and it's actually N, the words three spelled out, q.com. And you can also go to our Facebook page. We're facebook.com/n3qmedia.
Wow. I should follow you on Twitter and vice versa.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. What is my Twitter? At Breakthrough Sports? I forget.
It's That's a good question.
Yeah. All right. Contact information for you guys. Alan, Christian.
Net One Services. My phone number is 602-889-7270.
And they can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Net One Services.
Wow. Guys and girls, thank you so much. This has been very, very cool. A great show. From 2 to 3 as well as 3 to 4, Johnny Meyer, of course, the actor for One Hit from Home was on, and of course, social media power, I'll call it, the power hour. And we'll see everyone tomorrow for money management, wounded hearts, and family crises, and as well as the Standard of Excellence show starring Ann Myers Drysdale, VP of the Suns and Mercury. See you tomorrow.